I feel like this morning, you know, we're all very anticipating what God is going to do for us in this new year, which is a wonderful thing because, you know, you guys have hope. There's hope in your hearts. And there is something that is looking forward into God himself to do something extraordinary in your life. Why would that be? Because he is previous and he has placed in us something that is reaching out to him. And so even this unction that we have of hope, because anything good comes from him. And so this very unction that we have in ourselves is the Father, is the Holy Spirit saying, come, 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 spread out, explore. There's more. I'm going to reveal more. And so it's lovely to be a part of a people that are sort of like are constantly exploring, which is great. So I don't know how much this I'm going to get through this. I always find that I have much too much. I'm not sure what this title is, Richard, but you'll figure it out by the time we're finished. So rise up. I just felt the Lord was saying that you're going to rise up in your spirits, not just in this morning, because there's certainly a rising up in this morning. There will be a rising up in your spirits in the months and the year ahead. There will be your spirit man is going to rise up. I'm just going to read some scriptures. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 5:24. It is God who is intimately at work within you, giving you the will and power to achieve his purpose. That is a scripture. In the NIV, I think it says, for God works in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. Here's another one. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. Amen. Without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. So the word that's inside of you, God placed inside of you, God put it there, that hunger, that longing, that desire, that reaching, that's God. He put it there. He is going to accomplish it in you. That's what he says, because his word has gone out within you. For I, another scripture, I am confident, Paul says, of this very thing. And so we take, because Paul says, come, imitate me in these things. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is going to perfect it. Philippians 1:6. You know this one. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to the land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. There's a lot of scriptures that are talking about. That's in Genesis 28. Okay? And it's where Jacob gets a promise, where he's standing at the ladder. Okay? He's looking into the face of God who's up there, as we were this morning, and we will continue to do for the rest of our year and lives. He's looking up there, and God just pours out a promise. He says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to be with you. Whatever I've spoken into you, I'm going to do it. Okay, that is the confidence we're supposed to have. So this year, we're gonna live up to what we have already attained. We're not, you know, going to suddenly go back into anything. We're going to live up to what God has already attained, and we're going to live in what we know. So these are the things so that we can be confident, that God is good, that God wants us to unveil so much more to us. He does. He wants to bring more revelation and goodness into our hearts, and he wants to us to understand how incredibly precious we are, how loved we are. These are the two words that came, and the other one that came right at the end there with Kevin. Kevin, what was that again, that last bit in there? Oh, yes, this contrite bit. I know that in order for us to, we're going to have to go low. It's just it. That's just it. But it's a wonderful thing. It's a great thing. God wants to bless us because he favors those who are humble. I'd love somebody to speak, if not me, on the attitudes of being in Matthew 5. Because, you know, if we can, that's heaven's attitudes. And one of those things is being humble. And as we are humble, we inherit the kingdom. We inherit the earth. The meek inherit the earth. Wonderful. Okay, so back to Jacob. Like Jacob, when he is in this place with the ladder in Genesis 28, after he has had this promise, his eyes, such revelation is upon this man that he says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. I want to say to us, surely the Lord is in this place, and I do know it. I want us to declare out loud, really clearly throughout this year, the Lord is in this place. I know it. I am confident of this thing. He says, how awesome is this place? How awesome is this place? I want us to declare throughout this year, how awesome is this place? Because God himself declares, how awesome is this place? This is the place that I have chosen to dwell and abide. This is my house, says the Lord. Surely, this is the house of the Lord. Surely, this is his dwelling place. Surely, as the scripture says, this is the gate of heaven. Ooh. Wow, you know what I mean? And I'm saying, wow, okay, so let's just stand up. Let's just stand up. And I just want you to repeat, okay? Just repeat. Surely, the Lord is in me. This place. How awesome is this place? Me. Me. I am the house of God. I am the gate of heaven. May it be, Lord, as you have spoken. I'm sorry, you don't have to repeat it. May it be as you have spoken and as we have declared together. Throughout this year, Lord, unpack that we are awesome. Unpack that we are your house. Unpack, Lord, that the gate of heaven is right here. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Bless you. I pray that the fear of the Lord will grip you when you say that, say those things. I'm awesome. I pray that the fear of the Lord will grip you when you say, the Lord is here. I pray that the fear of the Lord will grip you when you say, this is the gate of heaven. Revelations 3. 20. So I'm standing at this door, says the Lord, and I'm knocking. I'm just reading scripture to you today. I'm standing at this door and I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into you and I'm going to feast with you and you will feast with me. Okay. It's just his word. This is his word. We were reading on Friday night's prayer meeting. We're going through the book of Nehemiah, and we're actually praying through the gates over the young people that we have here, and of course the young generation. We just felt that this was the right thing to do, to pray over each gate. So every time we meet on a Friday evening, we've been praying over the gates. So the last gate we prayed over was the water gate, and last Friday. And we prayed that for the children, in the same vein as what the scripture was saying in at the Watergate. So I'm being a bit bumbly, but sorry about that. But basically, Nehemiah gets Ezra the priest, and Ezra the priest calls and gathers the people by the water gate. And and he opens up the law, the word of God. And he just speaks from daybreak to midday over the people, the law of God. He just speaks the word, like what I've just been doing, okay? Just read the word. Revival breaks out. The word of God, living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting through, dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, thoughts and intention of the heart. It pierces. The word of God is living. It is real. It is Jesus. And the word throughout this year, in order for us to be in awesome in this place, we have to have this word alive in us, because that word is going to teach us the truth. The word itself is going to teach us about being a gate of heaven. It's going to teach us about how awesome we are. It's going to teach us. The word brings the fear of the Lord. It separates those thoughts and intentions of the heart. So as we are praying over the young people, it just was such an overwhelming thing that God's word was so powerful that it just by its reading of it, the people fell about in tears and grieving, because the fear of the Lord comes upon them and brings them into conviction. They come into conviction, and they're on their knees, and they're grieving, and this, you know, the move of the Spirit is just upon them, just because the Word is so powerful. And they are utterly undone. But this is what Ezra says to them, and I love it. He says, people, it's okay. It's a move of God. He doesn't quite say that, but okay, he doesn't. What he says is, it's okay. Rejoice. Rejoice. Go and drink and eat. Feast. Celebrate. God is in the midst of you. You could not be weeping and grieving and on your knees if God hadn't come and spoken to you. My word, his word went out so powerfully. But Ezra's saying, let's rejoice that God has come and has quickened your spirit and awakened you and brought revelation to you. Hallelujah. So we pray over the young people. We prayed over them, that they would come into revival, that they would be watered and cleansed by the washing of God's word. And you could not help but, as you pray for the young people, say, me too, God. Amen. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come into you and feast with you, and you will feast with me. It's what God says. He will come in. And Song of Songs says, it's a reiteration, I was asleep, but my heart was awake, says Beloved. And then I heard a voice. My beloved bridegroom was knocking and saying, open to me, my sister, my darling, my dove. Listen to this, my perfect one. How many of you walk around knowing that you're perfect? No. In fact, we take on board the human condition. I am not. I am flawed. I'm imperfect. My human condition. But in my spirit, hallelujah. And that's the eternal thing, okay? My spirit in Jesus Christ is alive eternally and is perfect and complete in Jesus Christ. More and more revelation coming to us in these days. There is a good, okay, and there is a better. But there is a best, and that is in God. And it's his standards. And he works in us the best. He works in us and equips us and trains us and allows us to attain to this higher place. I'm going to read. Oh, I don't need that. I need this. Okay, so in my daily reading, I'm going to look at Philippians 3. I'm pretty much just going to do words at the moment. Philippians 3, and I'm going to look at them in four different versions because that's how I feel to do it at the moment. I felt the Lord was saying, look at the same verse four times, five times, different versions, okay? So as a friend said, it's a bit hardcore, but it was just what I felt to do at that time. And it's been a real source of blessing to me. So Philippians 3, what did I say? Philippians 3, yeah. Verse 11 to 16. And I'm just going to read from all the versions. So, young people. Yes, that's you. I'm reading over you. But I'm also reading over the adults. And this word, let it cleanse you, let it wash you. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death in order that I might attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now I long to know Christ and the power shown by his resurrection. Now I long to share his sufferings, even to die as he died, so that I may somehow attain the resurrection from the dead. I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power, be a partner in his sufferings, and go all the way with him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. And I continually long to know the wonders of Jesus more fully and to experience the overflowing power of his resurrection working in me. I will be one with him in his sufferings, and I will be one with him in his death. Only then will I be able to experience complete oneness with him in his resurrection from the realm of death. Keep listening. Keep being washed. Keep allowing the Holy Spirit to bring revival to you as I read the word. Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect. But I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid a hold of by Christ Jesus. No, not that I claim to have achieved all this, nor to have reached perfection already. But I keep going on, trying to grasp that purpose for which Christ Jesus grasped me. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have made it, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. Brethren, verse 13, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, I forget what lies behind and I'm reaching forward to what lies ahead. My brothers, I do not consider myself to have grasped it fully, even now, but I do concentrate on this. I forget all that lies behind me and with hands, I forget all that lies behind me, and with hands outstretched to whatever lies ahead. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all this. But I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning me onward to Jesus. I'm off running. I'm not turning back. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. I myself have not taken possession of it. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onwards. I go straight for the goal. My reward? The honor of my high calling by God in Christ Jesus. I run. Thank you, Keith. Thank you, sweetheart. I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. Thank you. Let us, therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. All of us who are spiritually adult should think like this. And if at present you think otherwise, yet you will find that God will make even this clear to you. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. So let all who are fully mature have this same passion. And if anyone is not yet gripped by these desires, God will reveal it to them. So there's a perfection that God calls, he says, you're perfect, according to these scriptures, I'm perfect, and yet there's something I'm reaching for that I have not yet attained. This is a heavenly call in Christ Jesus, an upward call, and I'm reaching for it. I'm forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm reaching with a passion for the things that God has called me to. God himself is doing this work inside of me. He is working this passion inside of me. He is working this hunger inside of me. He himself desires to fulfill the very thing that he has called you forth to fulfill. He himself is desiring this and is unctioning us into. There's no condemnation in it, in any of it. None whatsoever. No condemnation. Everything in this, these scriptures here, are talking of a God who is in so love with his bride that he is giving himself to training and equipping, to encouraging. He says, listen, if you haven't got it together quite yet, don't worry. I'll sort that out. I'll cause you to see. I will, because I desire it. I desire it. See, I often thought about what putting God first. And actually, I used to think that it was about me striving. It's about me making certain decisions. But I'm beginning to understand a little bit that it's not about my effort, in as much as it is me aligning and agreeing with his effort in me. That's it. And he's always efforting. He's always wooing, knocking, calling, speaking, drawing. Good Father, you see. Good Father. So I can trust him to bring me into that perfection, that complete thing. I can literally lean all my weight upon him. Take a hold of his hand, because he's already grasped a hold of me, okay? He's grasped a hold of us. And we say, yeah, I agree. What is that thing that you've ever grasped a hold of me for? I agree with you. I agree. I align myself, my Father. I align myself, my lover. I align myself with you, what you say. And this thing that says, oh, turn off the TV now? Oh, okay. Shucks. Okay. I should do this first and not, okay, I'll do this first. And it's in the simple day-to-day. It isn't necessarily these big, huge things, but those little things, those little obediences will bring about the full thing, because you're practicing his presence. You're practicing hearing him in these little obediences. Turn left. Lovely story. Reading God's Generals and Oral Roberts. Is it that book? Anyways, this wonderful guy. Is it? No, it's not, is it? I don't know. I can't remember who it is. But one of these amazing people who hear God, right? And the reason why he became amazing is because he was hungry. And he recognized this hunger inside of him. And he said, okay, I'm going to go with the hunger. I'm going to go with the hunger. And he goes with the hunger. And God leads him to kneel down at an altar. And he gets touched and blitzed. And he gets up and he says, okay, right, I'm awesome in this place. God is awesome in this place. His home is here. Okay, I'm going to follow whatever he says. And he decided to follow to the letter whatever God said. So in his car, he's just driving this car, and he says, God says, take a left. Okay, left. Take a right. Okay, I go right. Take a right. Okay, I'm going right. And he goes like this, just listening to the Lord. God says, stop. So he stops right there. And he stops and he recognizes there's a Methodist church that he stopped outside of. And there's a manse. And he goes over to the manse and he knocks on the door, not really knowing exactly what he's going to say or do. Charles Price, that's his name. And he knocks and he says, I'm an evangelist. Can I do some meetings here? And the guy says, I've been praying for you. Nice. And he says, yes, of course. And does the evangelistic meetings and sees God's extraordinary power move in those meetings. So he's working with the small, little directions, the small things. And yes, that is an incredible outworking. But I suggest that that's how it works. It's in this small obediences, you know, of, oh, really? It's 7:15. I could have another half an hour, you know. And I know it's so easy. We can have another half an hour. I'm tired. My body is tired. And there is no condemnation. There is none. It's okay. But there is this unction that says, get up, have a coffee, and sit down with me. Have a coffee and sit down with me. And there is that unction. Yeah, either I do that or I wait and have my 15 minutes of sleep, and I wake up and I have condemnation then battering at my door. And then I think, I'm sorry, Lord. And he says, it's okay. There is no condemnation, Nadia. But I think it'd be better if I had done the first one. That's all. He's so kind. He's always kind, okay? He's the kindest person you'll ever meet and know. Because he'll never condemn you. He's always there for you. It's we that beat ourselves up. And the reason why we beat ourselves up is because we know what we can have good and we can have better, but there is a best. And it's usually when we hear his voice and it's just, attaching ourselves to that and giving ourselves to that. In New Year's Eve, we had a last minute impromptu bunch of people came, and we sat and talked a lot. And then towards the 12 o'clock mark, we're just going around the room, asking people, what do you feel God is saying to you as you approach 2019? Is there anything that's on your heart? One of the things that Jenny has always done ever since I have known her is she always approaches the year and saying, God is speaking to you. Can you put that down into one word? Can you put a word on whatever God is talking to you about? And actually, I forgot to bring it, but actually, I knew exactly what that word was. I knew what I could put it down into one word. And we went around the room. It's only about five of us, and everybody had a different word. It was relationship and trust. Relationship in terms of relating with God wonderfully and relating with others wonderfully. Trusting. Trust was another one, and just trusting him no matter what. Hoping. Staying in hope. Journeying. I'm going to journey. I'm going to go through the processes with him. I'm going to journey. I want to journey with the Lord. There's another word. Intimacy. I'm seeking more. Now, if I were to just ask that question, is there one word that you could, if there was a canvas, here, you would come and you would write that word and say, that's the word for this year, 2019. You may not have a word. You might have a phrase. You might have a whole poem, a whole prose thing going on. It's like this. And that'd be the kind of person I am, long-winded, when God just wants to say that. sorry? Okay. Right. Well. No. Well, I have to tell you. I'll get to it. Maybe I'm long-winded. So, back in April, 8 months ago, I had an encounter, a really powerful encounter that I would say, apart from the angel that's saving me in the water before I was even a Christian, I would liken this encounter to that moment. I don't know if you remember, I was asleep, and then I was awoken by something that sounded like a freight train. And it was like a train just coming at me. And I immediately, obviously, went into fear. And then I was literally electrocuted. Electricity running through me. And this hand was on fire. And this left side of my brain was going, ding, 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 ding. It was just electricity. And I'm like, whoa, because I feel fear, but I know I'm in a totally different place. And I see to my right some very strange, horrible creatures, and they're saying, yes, you have a right to fear, God. You need to fear. You are a goner. It's time. You're going to die. They were speaking horrible things. But right at the foot of my bed was a powerful strength, a strength that just was this. I'm sure that's where the electricity was coming from. And I was in awe. And I felt in that moment, in that sort of like power struggle, I think, that the safest place for me was to get out of my bed and get onto the ground. And I'm like, I'll do whatever, because it's just pumping through me. And I'm like, whoa. And then I just heard the Lord say, and these two things, and my word is power. My word is power. It's really a phrase that God has chosen me to release power. But I know that's not just me, okay? I do get it. But I have to find a way to walk in this because I don't know. So the last 8 months and this year, I believe God is going to keep opening this understanding to me. So two things he said, because this right hand was utterly ablaze, and he said, I'm going to release power through your right hand. And he also said that I'm going to release the fear of the Lord through your right hand. Now, I'm being very vulnerable to you because that probably sounds very weird, doesn't it? But it's what happened. It literally is what happened. The thing that really got me very fearful while I was on my knees is when he said, the first thing he said to me was, this day your life is required of you, right? Well, boom, I'm dying now. And then I just heard the Holy Spirit say, oh, no, I'm wanting you. I want to commission you. I want to take everything. You, your life. Will you give me your life? And from that day, I think I have been trying to walk this out. I can't say, like I say, I've taught this morning, this is not out of my own effort. I can't do it. I have no idea how to release power. How do you release power? I got the power, as, you know, whatever his name was, Mr. Carey. I don't. It's not like that. I have no idea. And so I'm learning how to, throughout this 2019, that's my word. I want to release power. I want to know how, when, and how, for, you know, purpose, you know, obviously the purpose will be for God's glory. I don't know, but I want to align myself. I want to agree with his word. Whoa, sorry about that. I want to agree with his word. He's spoken it through a very powerful encounter. So I should be, which, what's really fascinating, and I had no idea, Chuck Pierce spoke a word back in January 2018, and I just happened to fall upon it in last month, a couple of months ago, and it actually spoke about God seeking men and women who he can strike with his lightning. I'm like, whoa, wow. See, my head just went fizz bang. So I put my hand up. This is the thing that I've learned. If my left side of my brain starts to fizz bang like it did I put my right hand up. That's all I know at the moment. Yeah, I don't know anything else. That's right. The left controls the right. The left controls the right, scientifically. I learned that. But that's all I know to do at the moment. I need more, don't I? Yes. What is your word? What is your word? What is your word? There is a word that God would have in your heart, and you're saying, Lord, you've put this word in me. This word you want to accomplish in me. This word you want to equip me in order to accomplish this word. Whatever that word is, God wants to accomplish it because he's put it there. So, back to the promises. God who calls is faithful, and he will do it. He works in me to will and to do his good pleasure. He who began a good work in me will complete it. What he has spoken will not return to him without accomplishing what he set it out to do. I have to believe that. I have to align myself. That is what I'm saying. Align yourself with God's word. I'm seeking to do this weird thing. I don't know how to release God's power. I have no idea what that means, Lord. My life is required of me. And I find myself going to sit on the where his strength was, at the foot of my bed, kneeling down in that place and just saying, teach me. I'm here. I'm aligned with you. I'm bowed down. I have no idea. And that's what I'm saying. If it's hope, if it's journeying, if it's trust, if it's faith, if it is acceleration, if it's more joy, joy is said, Lord, I'm going to fill you up with joy. Breakthrough. There are words out there. There's language out there in your hearts that God has placed in you for 2019. He will do it. Allow him. Align ourselves and agree with what he has said. He will not leave you until he has done what he has promised. He trains, he equips, he matures, he transforms. He opens doors. He removes beams from unseeing eyes, like Paul. He softens hearts. He draws men to himself. God is at work. Doing something. Our part. You know the story well. You do. John 15, 1 to 11. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to end with that. Okay? It's about abiding. That's our part. Our part is to abide, to dwell. And that also means there is a dependence. An utter dependence, an utter trusting, an utter agreeing, as I said before, an utter obeying of the smallest things. Go brush your teeth, Nadia. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Is that God? Common sense? No. It's God. He wants not just for my soul to prosper. He wants that my entire being to prosper and to be in good health, it says in Timothy, I think. I can't remember. But he talks about this. God cares about every part of me. Every part of me. Don't eat that. You know that that's not good for you. And you know it. And you, but I want it. This day, this year is a day, a year, and a day when we are going to be doing what he says. We're going to just do what he says. Anybody want to do that? Just to do what he says? Let me tell you, it's going to cost you. Okay? You're going to have to get down low, okay? You're going to feel, shucks, a lot of the times. You're going to say, really? But you're going to, if you want to do it, this is all about dependence. If he says to do it, he will equip you to do it. He will, no matter what it is. No matter what it is. I'm just going to read that. Yeah, our part is to be confident in him and to be heaven's gate. Where am I? Is everybody okay for me to read from the Passion? All right, good. What did I say? Where was it? John 15. Yeah, John 15, 1 to 11. So let the word wash you. And I'm closing with this. Thank you for your word, Lord. I am a true sprouting vine. And the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches. Ugh. This is the kind of God we serve. He's so kind. He props up the fruitless branches and prunes every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. The words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you. So, you must remain in life union with me. For I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. I am the sprouting vine, and you're my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. If a person is separated from me, he is discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire, and it will be done. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish you and nourish your hearts. If you keep my commandments, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands. For I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. My purpose for telling you this is so that your joy may be complete. So that joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. Amen.